Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. 54,000 rental properties affected by unanimously passed measure in full effect by 2024. 54,000 rental properties affected. The byline of a headline that came out from the Denver Post the other day is this: 24,000 rental units affected by unanimously passed measure, which goes into full effect in 2024. Now, the actual headline from the Denver Post is this: Denver landlords need long-term rental licenses under new law. So what all that means is that the government, at least in Denver and in some other cities around the United States, have made a decision that they're going to get involved with the business of rental housing. Yeah, you know, the government's got nothing else to do, so they're going to get involved with the business that we do very well at. But here's the problem, and here's why I think Denver got involved with all this stuff. Not every landlord is a quality landlord, just like not every resident is a quality resident. Yeah, human beings are what human beings are. There's some really great people, and there's some not so really great people, and there's everybody in between. Now, I will tell you this. When I put a property into service, I make sure that property has been gone through with a fine-tooth comb. I make sure that I look at every different system in that property, and I analyze that system, and I make a determination as to what the lifespan of that system is and whether or not that system can be left alone, needs to be repaired, or needs to be replaced. But not every landlord does that. As a matter of fact, not every real estate investor does that. But I do that, because I was taught to do that. I was taught that to effectively own and operate residential income producing real estate, you need to go into that property and you bring back its glory days. That doesn't mean you overimprove the property, but you certainly bring it back to the standard of the neighborhood. But in Denver, 54,000 rental properties are affected by a unanimously passed measure. Kind of makes you wonder what's been going on in Denver. Now, I don't own any rental property in Denver, and I can't think of any Lifestyles Unlimited member that I personally know that invests in Denver. Because in my opinion, there are other markets you can invest in where you can get much better returns. So apparently there's something funky going on in Denver to cause the city council to basically say, all right, we need to get involved. We have to step into the middle of the entire rental process, because we, the government, know better than you, the citizens. And we, the government, have the ability to control everything in the marketplace. I don't know how you feel about that. My personal belief is I'm not a big supporter of the government doing a whole lot of things, because with my experience working within the governmental system, I have learned time and time again that the government is not very effective at doing the things that it professes to do. The government, as a matter of fact, is very ineffective. But 54,000 homes, condos, row houses, and apartment complexes may receive, and this is right out of the article from the Denver Post, may receive increases in their rents. And the people that own the properties were complaining of additional red tape that will impede business and lead to costly repairs. Yeah, so what I'm getting out of this article is that neither side of the aisle was really in favor of this. The renters said that we're not in favor of it. I don't think that the renters believe that this was the right approach. The owners, they thought the same thing. They didn't think it was the right approach. The government unanimously decided that they're going to get into the business of rental properties. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about slumlords. Oh, this is going to get good. Stick around.
Del Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some dollars a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I was talking about what Denver recently did, and they've actually followed behind a couple of other cities that have done the same thing. And these are cities that don't tend to be very landlord-friendly. Now, I'm not saying that it's good, bad, or indifferent that they're not landlord-friendly, but I'm just noticing a little trend that the government or the local governments are making decisions that they need to be a part of what goes on in the rental housing industry. Like they have some magic formula of success that they can apply, sprinkle on a little bit here, a little bit there, and they can magically gain control and clairvoyance and full understanding, I guess that's what clairvoyance means, right, of what's going on in 54,000 parcels around Denver that have been identified as rental properties. Let me give you the breakdown. 25,668 single-family homes are affected. 15,888 condos. Now, we don't like to invest in condos. That's just a little side note there for you that might be new to this show. Condos are the devil. They really are the devil. You can do so much better in other forms of real estate. I would rather see you go into industrial than go into condos. And I'm not going to get into why now, but just keep that in the back of your mind. There are almost 6,000 row houses affected. Now, row houses in Denver are kind of like duplexes. All right, so you and I would recognize them as duplex properties, where you have two families living in one particular property. And 6,600 apartment parcels. Now, they decided that they couldn't manage all of these apartment units. Because if you're talking 6,600 apartment parcels, each apartment building is comprised of a certain number of units. So that's an even bigger number. So I think they finally realized maybe they're biting off a little bit more than they can chew, in the sense there's one owner of the property, they could just back it out a little bit and they could just do it by apartment parcel. And what I thought was very interesting about this article, I mean, this is one of those things that makes you go, really? Really? Is that what you were thinking? I got to find this thing because I read it in the darn article in the Denver Post, and I might have to paraphrase it. Okay, I found it. The new law will also create a database of landlords. a database of landlords. I won't be put into that database because I don't own any property there. But if I did, my name would go into that database as well as any properties that I own in Denver. And according to the powers that be, they said this will enable city officials to track available housing stock and communicate with property owners and residents, they use the word tenants, about rental and utility assistance efforts. Let me reread that because I want you to understand the official statement that's being released in the press here. The new law will also create a database of landlords and their properties, and this will enable city officials to track available housing stock and communicate with property owners and tenants, I like to call them residents, about rental and utility assistance efforts. Okay, so I guess what they're going to do here is the plan is they're going to charge $50 per property for the license in order to do the business that you're already doing in Denver if you own property there. And they're going to charge $500 for properties with more than 250 units. Yeah, so if I own one house, it's a $50 hit. But if I own an entire apartment community of 250 units, that's about $2 per unit. I don't see where that works out in anybody's favor. It's not that much easier to manage a 250 unit apartment community than it is a single family home. It's a little more complex, but I don't think that's what they're getting at here. See, I think what they want is they want landlords, i.e. people like you and me, to renew the licenses every 4 years. So every 4 years, they're going to get fee income. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to set up a process where landlords will have their properties examined by certified inspectors. I'm assuming the city of Denver's got their own certification program. I don't know. Maybe they got to build that. I don't know. They don't say in the article. And at least 10% of the property's units must be inspected at random. Okay, well, if I own one house in Denver, that means that house is going to get inspected. Yeah. And there's nothing in the article to really talk about what they're looking for. I'm assuming they want to make sure that somebody like me is providing clean, functional workforce housing. And you know what? That's exactly what I do. When I put a property into service, I expect it to have a certain lifespan and a certain utility. And if things wear out during the timeline that I am keeping that property into service, I take care of it. One of my properties that I have, I had put in a brand new water heater 14 months ago. Well, my resident called me up after the big freeze that hit Texas and said, hey, there's a problem with the water heater. And I said, oh, well, let's get right on that. So I sent my guys back out there. It turns out the water heater was still under warranty, but the parts and labor piece, well, that ended at the end of 12 months. I was in the 14th month, so I had to pay for the labor to put another water heater into that property. Now, there was an expense associated with me doing that. And, you know, it is what it is. But I promised my resident that I was going to provide her with clean, functional workforce housing. And I absolutely mean it. Just as much as I mean it that when we sign a lease together and I tell them, your rent is due on the 1st, it's not due on the 3rd, it's not due on the 15th, it's not due when you get around to it, it's due on the 1st. Because this is a business. I operate this as a business. And as a result of operating it as a business, I have a business relationship with you. I will do all the things that I said that I will do. I just need you to do the things that you said you will do. And you know what? I've got a relationship with my residents. I see eye to eye with them. I treat them as responsible human beings. And I will continue to treat them as responsible human beings until they prove otherwise. But because I've got great residents, I don't think that prove otherwise part is going to come to fruition. Oh, yeah. I didn't talk to you about slumlords, did I? And I made you a big promise. Okay, I promise in the next segment, I'm going to get into a discussion on what slumlords are, which is what I think is driving this whole thing. Stick around.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the seven principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I love government. Government tries so hard to do things that they think the populace needs. And sometimes they do things that they do for political motivation or other reasons. Now, Denver just passed basically a city ordinance that says if you own rental property, by 2022, you've got to be licensed. And then every 4 years, you have to renew that license. And as part of that licensing process, the city's going to come to your property and inspect your property. So you get the benefit of making the arrangements with your resident. Maybe you have a property manager, they can do that for you, to have a city sanctioned inspector go into your property, do whatever inspections they're going to do, and then give you, in my opinion, a fix-it ticket. Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do, because the article doesn't talk about the process. It just talks about the fact that they're going to do it. They've done it. They've said this is the way business will be going forward. But they didn't elaborate on the process, only that by 2022, we'll have the initial licensing in place. So this is not a ready to go endeavor on behalf of the city of Denver. It's not. It's something that they probably cooked up within the staff in the city council and based on whoever was lobbying them. And, you know, even when the community came out and said, on both sides of the rental contract, by the way, hey, we don't think this is a good idea. The government said, we know better, and this shall be law. And it's law now. So I hope Denver does well with it. I hope whatever they intend to do with this program comes to fruition. I really do. I don't wish ill will on anybody or anything. I really don't. I just get frustrated with some of the things that government does, probably because I spent the majority of my life working within government systems. I mean, I spent 27 years in the United States Army. I mean, that's the government, right? The military version, but it's the government. And then when I left the Army and I went to work for a local municipality, I spent a little over 3 years there watching them create ordinances and laws like this. And I would just shake my head, because everything was like carefully orchestrated behind the scenes. And it seemed like it just was pounced on the public. Well, the public is too busy doing what the public does. So the public doesn't necessarily come to any of these meetings. The few people that do come to these meetings, maybe they're not the best spokespersons. Maybe they are. I don't know. But the municipality did what the municipality was going to do, even though the people testifying in front of the municipality said this is not the way to go. But here's what I think the municipality feels that they're guarding against. I think their intention is to guard against something called a slumlord. Now, you've heard of slumlords. As a matter of fact, when you start talking about investing in real estate, some of your closest friends may say to you, what, you want to be a slumlord? Because they think that investing in real estate is just that. It's going out and buying rotten property and then driving it further into the ground and abusing people in the process. Yeah. Well, let me give you a more defined legal definition of what a slumlord is. And this is from uslegal.com. They said, a slumlord is an unscrupulous landlord who milks a property without concern for tenants, neighborhoods, or their own long-term interests. Really? They're sabotaging themselves. Okay. Slumlords overcharge for property in poor neighborhoods that is kept in poor repair and allowed to deteriorate. Some indicators of property run by slumlords include number of police calls and city and code violations. Yeah, I would agree with that. Then they go on to say this. Slumlord property means residential rental property. Okay, that's the stuff that we're talking about, right? Residential rental property that has deteriorated or is in the state of disrepair and that manifests one or more of the following conditions that are a danger to the health and safety of the public. I think that should have been captured. That little piece there probably should have been captured in the Denver Post article, because I don't think they talked about the intent of what the city council was trying to do. And I'm not trying to defend them. I'm just saying I think that maybe that's what's going on in the back of their minds. So they want to guard against structurally unsound exterior surfaces, roofs, walls, doors, floors, stairwells, porches, and railings. Yeah, you know what? I want to guard against that too. A lack of potable water. Adequate sanitation facilities, adequate water or waste pipe connections. I want to make sure my properties have those things. Hazardous electrical systems or gas connections. I want to find those things. And when I do, I'm going to renovate those things. I'm going to make those things correct, because I don't want perils to occur to my property, nor do I want perils to occur to the residents that I have a rental agreement with. Because if that property goes down because the property was not operating correctly, and it burns down, I got to let that great resident that I found out of a lease. And by the way, it causes them to go out and have to go find a place to live. Oh, by the way, how many of their personal belongings were damaged or destroyed in whatever fire that occurred? Yeah. Oh, let's get back to this list here. A lack of safe, rapid egress. In other words, an ability to get in and out of the property. Okay, that there are places in the United States that have issues with that. They're just out there. And here's the final one. Here's the one that just, it kind of makes me kind of want to throw up my throat a little bit. Accumulation of humid or animal waste, medical or biological waste, gaseous or combustible materials, dangerous or corrosive liquids, flammable or explosive materials, or drug paraphernalia. I don't want any of that stuff to exist in my properties. Yeah, but a slumlord thinks that those things are okay. I've been talking about one particular property that came out over the weekend this week on the radio shows. So I'm going to bring it up again, because this property, by the way, a Lifestyles Unlimited member already owns or has already made a contract on this property. So I feel a little more comfortable about talking about it, although I'm not going to tell you where, other than it's in Houston. This particular property, it's about a 1,500 square foot property. It's about, if I recall correctly, around 80 years of age. And it's available on the market for $45,000. And as I've told you throughout the week, it's going to take about $95,000 to bring this property back to its glory days. This is a heavy lift rehab. Just about everything that could be wrong with this property is potentially wrong. Given the fact that it's 80 years of age, there are already some things that we know as Lifestyles Unlimited members that we need to immediately look at and address with the property. And you're thinking, okay, what are those things? All right, let's share a couple with you. Electrical systems. The electrical systems that were put into place 80 years ago are inferior to the electrical systems that we have in place in new construction today. And as a result of that, for health and safety matters, there are certain things that you need to do if you discover you have an antiquated electrical system in the property to bring it up to current standards, to current fire codes. Because if you don't, you run the risk of a peril and you run the risk of being a slumlord. And we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this $45,000 property. And I'm going to talk about what the slumlord would do versus what you and I would do. Stick around.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for, a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del. People are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so the most tested and tried and true sign that you may be dealing with a slumlord is the property's physical condition. See, if the property's has broken or boarded up windows or doors, it's got graffiti on it, maybe there's trash all over the place, things like overgrown landscaping, broken or non-working lighting fixtures, non-functional gates. I mean, these are some of the things that give you an indication that maybe, just maybe, a slumlord owns a property. Now, that's not always true. It is not always true. There are people out there that will buy a property, and maybe they buy it new, or maybe they buy it gently used, but they buy that property and they live in that property for many, 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 many years to the point where maybe they've paid off their mortgage. And as they move into older age, things like repair of the property become a little bit more challenging because you're older. It's a little harder to do things. The other thing that tends to happen is that maybe they're in a state of retirement now. So all those grand plans that they had to kind of fix up the home, or maybe to redo the bathroom, or, you know, maybe repaint the exterior after so many years, well, they're just not that important anymore, because at least the property is providing some kind of shelter. It's providing some type of place to live. And when people like that pass away and their families take over ownership of the property, and they walk into the properties and they realize that, yeah, this property is in pretty bad shape, they don't know what to do to remedy that. They really don't know. And the quickest and easiest solution is, let's just liquidate it. Let's not take a bunch of our money and put it into fixing this property up, because we don't even know what the property would be worth. As a matter of fact, we don't have any experience or any knowledge in how to renovate the property or what that's going to cost. We don't even know if we could bring it up to its glory days within a certain budget. As a matter of fact, we don't have time. We don't know how to do any of this stuff. So they decide to sell the property. And this is where you and I come in. As real estate investors, we identify this property and we realize it has a lot of potential. And we also know that if a slumlord came in and acquired this particular property, they're just going to run it into the ground. They're going to do everything that they can to squeeze whatever they can out of that property and continue to drive it into the ground even farther, because they don't care. They really don't care. So let's get back to that property that I've been talking about all week. This is about a 1,500 square foot property. It's in the greater Houston area. It has an after repair value of $155,000, meaning when this property is all fixed up, when it's brought back to its glory days without over improving it, it is worth $155,000 in today's marketplace. The property was purchased for $45,000. That's what the asking price was. I know that it was put under contract for $45,000 because that's what was being asked. And this thing, it's going to take about $95,000 to do everything necessary to bring this property back. This thing has been driven into the ground. Now, I happen to know for a fact that this particular property was not owned by a slumlord that was looking to liquidate it. It was actually owned by somebody that I described, somebody that had owned it for a very long time. It was the place that they lived. They spent their entire life into that property. And when it came time to depart this earth, they did. Their family got the property and they went, man, we've known this is bad for years. It just needs to go away. That's the backstory. So let's talk about the two paths that you can go by. First, there's the path of the slumlord. Let's talk about it as if we're going to do this the way a slumlord would do this. I mean, the first thing that we need to do is we need to realize that we're not going to fix anything. It is as is. That property is as is. If that elderly person that passed away in there could live there just fine, then whoever I put into that property, well, they can live just fine there too. That's right. So I'm not fixing anything up. As a matter of fact, if they want anything to be fixed, well, I'm going to give them a break on the rent. So if they think it needs to be fixed, they need to fix it. Yeah, I'm going to push it all onto them because I don't want to deal with any of the stuff. As a matter of fact, what I'm really looking for, I'm looking for somebody with a big bundle of cash. I want somebody to come in here and like prepay me rent, 6 months worth of rent up front. That would be a good starting point. As a matter of fact, if I could find somebody to pay me a whole year's worth of rent, man, that's even better because now I've got all cash in my hands and they can do whatever they want in that property. I don't care. See, that kind of slumlord is looking to do business with illegal people. And I don't mean people that have crossed into the United States illegal. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about truly illegal people, people that live their lives by continually breaking the laws of this land. Like people like drug dealers. These are nasty people. And the reason they would rent a place like this is because they need a base of operations and maybe a place to crash when they got too high or whatever they're doing. And they don't care about the condition of the property. As a matter of fact, they're just going to continue to abuse the property because they just gave you a wad of cash up front. They got 6 months, maybe a year without you even bothering them. And at the end of whatever that lease period is, because you're not going to sign a formal lease. No, those bad people don't want their name on anything. So it's a handshake deal. And that slumlord, well, that slumlord likes that too, because the slumlord is now flying under the radar with the IRS because they're working with pure cash because they're not putting that cash into any bank accounts or anything. It's going to their pocket. They're basically going to tell the IRS they never made any money on that property. They never rented out. As a matter of fact, the people that lived there, they were deadbeats. They were deadbeats. I told them to move and they wouldn't move out. Meanwhile, you got this big pile of cash burning a hole in your pocket. And you went out and you bought that property for $45,000 as a slumlord. Maybe you found a lender that was willing to have you put $9,000 down and you would take out a mortgage for the rest. At least you'd have a mortgage on the property, right? Or maybe you just put all $45,000 all cash into the property because the game plan is I'm going to lease it out to nasty people anyhow. I'm going to hold it for a year or two and then I'm just going to, because the market's red hot, I'm just going to sell it for cash again and I'm going to get out of the deal. Yeah, that's not the way to do business, folks. That is not the way to do business. The way to do business is to say, okay, the property's $45,000. It's going to take another $95,000 to get this thing back into shape. All in, I'm at $135,000 to do all of the things that I need to do. But the property is worth $155,000. So there's equity to be captured in this deal. So I'm going to do this deal. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put this property back on the market once I get it all fixed up and renovated. Now, it's going to take some time to do the renovations because, like I said, there's like $90,000, $95,000 worth of stuff that needs to be done. Everything from foundation work to roofing to plumbing. I know there's electrical issues that need to be brought up to standard. I know that because of the foundation problem, we're going to have some problems with the plumbing because this thing is jacked up. And when it gets jacked up, it's going to break some of those plumbing connections, which is okay because I already know that I've got issues with the plumbing. Yeah. When you understand the real estate investing business, stuff like this doesn't scare you. As a matter of fact, once you run your numbers, which shouldn't take you a very long period of time, you sit down and realize, wow, this thing has the potential to produce about $559 a month in positive cash flow for me. And I can do this whole thing for just north of $26,000. So unlike the slumlord guy that maybe went and paid $45,000 cash, I'm only putting $26,220 into this deal. And this deal over time is going to pay me. It's going to do good things for me. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at that $26,220 converting into $98,404 in 5 years. And that comes from cash flows of about $33,500 that I'll make over the lifespan of this property while I hold it for 5 years. And it comes from the $64,000, almost $65,000 in adjusted capital gains that I'll receive based on the equity increases on the property. And the person living there is going to get clean, functional workforce housing that is better than anything else they found. And I have taken care of that property over the 5 years. See, that's the difference between being a slumlord and being a Lifestyles Unlimited member. And if you want to find out how to do this correctly, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.